Megan, it's been a long time since we've been in this room together.
Yeah, it sure has. You know, some of us have been exciting places, you know, partway around the world, experiencing, you know, beautiful sunshine and amazing beaches and warm sand. And some of us have been here. Where it's been rainy.
Yep.
Chilly. Cats keep meowing at us. For no reason that we can understand.
Which of us is which in this scenario?
You know, I'm going to give you two guesses.
Okay. I was the one who was here.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, that's right. I was the one in Hawaii.
That's correct.
I'm back. I'm tan. My hair still smells like sand.
Is sand a smell?
Not really, but it did smell like Hawaii this morning when I got up.
Thank you for coming into Yankee Candles. Our special candle right now is sand.
I want a candle that smells like sand. Oh, we have a perfect beach. We have a beach candle. No.
Sand. I want just sand.
Just the sand candle.
Just sand smell.
Oh, we have this Rocky Mountain vista. Does that...
No.
Just the sand.
No.
Dream job, Yankee Candle.
What?
Just kidding.
You could work in a Yankee Candle if you really wanted to.
I would get a headache so quick from being in there all the time.
It would not be fun.
No, it wouldn't.
I don't think it would.
Besides, there's superior smelly candles, wood wicks. Those are the candles I like.
I've never really had scented candles around. Candles weird me out.
I'm going to bring one up here for another segment.
Fair enough.
Well, everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And we've got a big show for you today because, as aforementioned, we were recently, by we, I mean me,
was in Hawaii. Great.
Well, it was like you were there, Megan, because I was texting you pictures of my food and drinks all the time.
Yeah, and it was like I was there because I was looking at pictures of drinks I couldn't have.
I'll bring you up a fruity drink and a scented candle. How about that?
Perfect. As long as it smells like sand.
We were in Hawaii. Was in Hawaii for Pro Tour Kaladesh.
I was watching Pro Tour Kaladesh while I played Modern on MitGo.
Well, that's pretty close to being as good.
Yeah. Not to spoil an upcoming segment, but there was a point when I was like watching the Pro Tour and then like playing and then the person... we started a new match and the person messaged me like, why not watching the Pro Tour and like instead playing Modern? And I was like, or why not both? And they were like, haha, me too. And then it turns out that we were both also playing the same deck.
That's cute.
So we were like doing the same thing.
Are you exactly are you going on a date later?
No.
Okay. Just a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Yep, so many similarities.
We'll talk about that more later in the show, because when we talk about the Pro Tour, we're also going to talk about Modern, as Megan mentioned. She's getting ready to go to GP Dallas-Fort Worth.
That's right.
Modern is the format, and she has a new love in her life, a new deck love.
That's right.
That's kind of surprising,
It's strange and surprising to all of us.
Okay. We've got a For the Noobs segment brought to you by a celebrity pro player, as well as a Flavor Text Theater triple battle coming up.
Yeah.
Triple battle right here. Here's a preview. We got three packs. They're going to do battle.
We've never had a three-way fight.
No, we haven't.
This has always been a two-way street for street fighting.
Yep.
The fighting street goes two ways. But today, it's a three-way intersection.
Ghost Host is also here joining us, of course, as always.
Ghost Host was neither here nor in Hawaii. They were, you know, on a vacation to... Belize.
Yeah.
Well, it was also warm and sunny.
I didn't ask.
So.
That ghost has had its own life.
Yeah, well, Ghost has got a ghost tan, so.
Before we start the show, we just want to say thank you to everybody who supports us on patreon.com/mtacast. Thank you so much to everybody who's become a new member of the 1% Club, the less than 1% Club, I should say, within the past month. Thank you so very much. And we welcome everybody else who enjoys our show or gets anything out of it from week to week to become a member and join our family.
Yes. An important update is that our reward levels will be changing on November 1st. So we will let you all know exactly what the new levels and the new rewards are. But if you're super excited for a shirt, you should grab it now. You know, start whatchamadoodling.
Donating.
Start donating now, because anyone who starts being a donor on Patreon after November 1st is going to have a new, also super sweet also and super sweet. Cool.
Yeah.
Prize structure, but we're going to have some different new items in there.
Yeah, we will still have the shirts for sale on the website, but yes. It's getting a little too hard to handle on Patreon, keeping track of sizes and all that kind of stuff. So get in, as Megan said, before the first, and thank you in advance for becoming members. We also want to say thank you to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Head over there to buy all the singles you need for New Standard now that we've seen what the hot decks are on the Pro Tour.
Yeah, man. And there's so many pretty control decks.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Gosh, they're nice looking.
We already started. I didn't think we'd get into this till later, but...
What great stuff.
I already have to be grossed out by how much Megan loves those control decks.
Aww.
Yeah, get your copy of Aetherworks Marvel if you're into that. Perhaps some Torrential Gear Hulks. CardKingdom.com is known for its fast shipping and its fair prices and its... absolutely amazing customer service. I know that they have amazing customer service because somebody there tweets at us all the time and shows us pictures from behind the scenes. And sometimes you'll get a little token with a unique little drawing on it from somebody at Card Kingdom, which is really cute. And speaking of Card Kingdom, thank you to everybody who submitted for the Inventors Fair deck building contest around Aetherworks Marvel.
Yes, we got to look at so many sweet Aetherworks Marvel deck lists. It was super cool.
Yeah, and we, in the end, had to choose a winner, of course, because that's how contests work.
And alas, we had to be Tezzeret with his giant mechanical arm.
That's right. How did you feel having a giant mechanical arm, Megan?
You know, I didn't mind that part.
That part was pretty great.
It was very powerful.
You could scratch any itch.
Yeah.
And reach anything on any shelf.
Anything on any shelf.
I'm like assuming his mechanical arm like goes up and then it's like meek.
I think you're thinking of Inspector Gadget.
It gets longer.
You've confused Tezzeret and Inspector Gadget.
Oh.
They are essentially the same person.
Yeah.
Do 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 do. Tezzeret. Agent of Bolas. Do 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 do. Yeah.
Yes, anyway.
So anyways, Aetherworks Marvel decks.
Yes, we have a winner. It is Alyssa McGill. Congratulations, Alyssa. She built a very unique deck that kind of revolves around Marionette Master, of all things.
Yeah, super cool. Death.
There's like four copies
to
of...
To create death.
Noxious Girl. Yeah. Weapons Craft
Create
enthusiast.
Death.
Create Death. Die Young's in here. Decoction Module. If you want to check out her deck, head over to GuardKingdom.com. And you can see all the winners and the runners up for the contest, including yes. the decks that LLR judged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can see some Aetherflux Reservoir decks and also a Rashmi Eternity's Crafter EDH deck that won.
That was judged by our friends over at the Command Zone.
Super cool.
Congratulations to Alyssa. And thanks to everybody who entered. For the noob celebrity intervention. So, this is going to be a bit of a story time.
Yeah.
I was in Hawaii, as you know, Megan.
All too well.
Pro tour. And I was playing in a coverage draft, which just means people from coverage hang out after they're done and they draft. And I drafted a blue-white Flyers deck, as I'm known to do in this format. That's kind of been my go-to recently. And I was playing against Neil Rigby, who is also in coverage and recently made top 8 in GP London, which is pretty cool. So he's a good player, good limited player. And he was playing a red-blue sort of energy, tempo-aggressive deck. And we're sitting there playing, and I kind of have been passing the turn back to him a couple times in a row. And I'm developing my board a little bit more, and he's just, you know, kind of sitting there. And... we're just sitting playing. It's kind of late at night. And all of a sudden, Sam Black walks up and sits down next to me. And I realize he's been watching this game for a little bit. And he goes, "Why didn't you attack him?" And I was just like, "Oh, God. A really good Magic player." He's coming in to talk about my play. And I got like super nervous. And I'm just like, "Oh, my God. Don't screw up, Maria. Don't screw up. You're going to play like a moron. Sam Black is watching you." Anyway, so... I really didn't have an answer for him. I just was, I had a Windrake out in the air. I had just played a Sky Swirl Harrier, and Neil did not have any creatures with flying, but he did have a Whirler Virtuoso and something like 8 energy. So he was able to make a couple of flying flopters. And he, in his deck, was very efficient at making a lot of energy, so I was worried that Morthopters would be coming or whatever. But I didn't have a good answer. Why wasn't I attacking? I was worried that my Windrake was going to trade off with 2 of his Thopters.
Yeah.
And Sam was like, I think you're overvaluing your Windrake. Which,
poor Windrake.
What a slam. But I totally was. I was sitting here, like, not attacking because I didn't want to trade with two Thopters. Like, that's a good trade.
That's a lot of energy. That's six whole energy.
That's six energy that his deck was specifically using. Like, he was making a lot and using a lot of energy. But he also pointed out something which I think is pretty interesting. He said, you know, you didn't attack. You passed the turn back. He passed the turn back to you. You played a Sky Swirl Harrier and you passed back to him. So he didn't think that it was advantageous for him to attack into your board, and yet you didn't attack him back. And then you played a Sky Swirl Harrier, which it makes your board even better than it was when he didn't attack you, and you passed back again.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? And I was just like, oh my God, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And he goes, he has to spend six energy to make those Thopters. You want to get rid of that energy because his deck is all about using that energy. Mm-hmm. And then you play a 3/4, and what's he going to do? And I was like, oh my God, what have I been doing with my life? And something that...
Wow, that really led you to some deep questioning.
It sure did. Something that Neil said is he kind of sometimes likes to slam British players, but he says sometimes they like to play like there's pacifism on all of their creatures. So they never attack, they never block, they just sit there because they're too afraid. And this is something that I think I have a problem with, is not attacking when I should. Like, even if I'm going to make a trade, you know, what am I gaining by just sitting here? I'm definitely not winning the long game, like, against that kind of deck.
Not with a Whirler Virtuoso hanging around.
No, I'm not. And why am I so scared? Why am I valuing this Windrake like it's my rare?
Because he's a little flyer. He's a little 2/2 flyer, and you just thought he was so special.
Anyway, just, like, it was one of those moments where you just sit there and you kind of, like, level up in your brain a huge step just doing something that you didn't realize that you had been doing for so long, which was hanging back on attacks when it was really not advantageous to do so. So what he said, he did not attack you because he did not think that he had an advantageous attack into your board. Mm-hmm. And that really made me sort of think about things differently, in that, why is my opponent specifically not doing something?
Yeah.
Is something to keep in mind.
Even if they did something.
Right.
Like, if he obviously, like, attacks into your board, then it's like, well, that's suspicious as heck.
Which is something that's more obvious, right? Like, he definitely has a trick or something like that. But specifically not doing something can also give you a lot of information, mm-hmm. I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Or in the case of, like, his 2/3 against your 2/2, if he attacks with that 2/3 into it, thinking that, like, that's something that's saying, like, oh, hey, if we're racing, then he thinks he has the edge in a race.
Right.
So you can start thinking about, like, well, what might he have in his hand or in his deck that makes him think that he has such a great edge if we just are swapping damage back and forth?
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess there's a lot of psychology in the game that it's good to be aware of from time to time. Mm-hmm. Not like, is my opponent messing with me, which sometimes happens.
Yeah.
But rather, why is my opponent afraid of attacking me?
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting way to put it. Like, are they afraid of attacking me because my creatures are better? Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, not really.
Yeah.
But they were worried because my attacks were better.
Yeah.
And just kind of blew my mind in a weird way. Have you ever experienced this kind of moment, Megan? Has Sam Black ever come to you in a dream and sat down and gave you play advice out of nowhere? Like, it was like he appeared. I didn't even see him walk in.
I can't say that that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of a cloud.
Yeah. Hello, Maria.
I've been watching you from afar. You're afraid of fucking up now, but you've been fucking up the whole time.
He was like my magic fairy godmother who appeared and was like, poof, hello, would you like to play better? By midnight, you won't be playing better, but up until midnight, it'll be great.
After midnight, you turn into a pumpkin.
You personally are a pumpkin. You
personally turn into a pumpkin.
Speaking of, not a great time of year to be a pumpkin, am I right?
God, that's messed up now that I think about it.
Like, I think about that around Thanksgiving a lot.
Oh, bad time to be a turkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And Christmas, bad time to be a tree. Halloween, bad time to be a pumpkin.
Wow.
It's like sadistic. It's dark. Sick. We take them and we rip their guts out and we stab them with knives. And then we display their carcasses for the neighborhood to see. That's sick, Megan.
I feel like you eat a lot of steak to feel this way.
I do. Enjoy a good steak.
Yep.
Then the neighborhood kid like looks at their mutilated carcass and smashes it with their foot. It's messed up.
I don't believe... I'm not sure I believe that it wasn't a squirrel. Like a raccoon or something.
Last year, my pumpkin got destroyed the day after I put it out. And we didn't know if it was squirrel destruction, which I'm fine with, or if it was a neighborhood kid who didn't like my pumpkin, which was just carved with a Welsh word.
Yeah.
It said welcome in Welsh. It was very sad. So this year, I'm not going to carve one. I'm just not going to open myself up to that kind of sadness.
Aren't you, though?
Yeah, I am. Pro Tour Kaladesh. Hey, everybody. Pro Tour Kaladesh happened last weekend in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. It was lovely. The competition was fantastic. And it was the largest Pro Tour, I think, ever. Because so many people deferred from Sydney.
Ooh, yeah.
The previous Pro Tour, because they probably wanted to go to Hawaii.
That's fair. Although, I would go to Australia.
Yeah, Australia seems sweet.
Baller.
Yeah, so it was a huge tournament, and it was a new standard, so it's always the most exciting to kind of see what new decks evolve out of people's brains entering this tournament for the first time. And we had kind of had a preview about what draft was going to be like the weekend prior at GP Atlanta, so we had a sneak peek of that, but we saw players go a little bit deeper this weekend, and of course deeper on their standard builds. So before we start talking about the Pro Tour and all of its glory, I put together a little video from the floor of the Pro Tour where I went and talked to some pros and various other people associated with the Pro Tour. Everybody, check it out.
Good finish.
What are you playing?
What kind of question is that? I'm playing White Weenie, obviously.
Yes! What's the best card in your deck?
Well, the card I want my opener more than anything is Toolcraft Exemplar. So that's probably, I'd say, the best card.
What do you think of the Aetherworks Marvel deck?
I think it's scary. Like, when they just get it on turn four and go for it, it's like, well, I might be dead. No, like...
Are you going to be Aetherworks Marvel for Halloween?
How would I even do that?
You figure it out, Craig. It's in the spirit of invention. Thank you. Looking good.
Yeah, your jealousy knows no bounds.
Thanks for hanging out with me in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. It's a top eight today. I'm gonna hit up the beach one last time before the players start playing. Then I've gotta hop on my flight, get back to Minnesota, go to my day job, and then record the podcast for you. So, let's just say this is gonna be a long day for me, but I'm not complaining. Got to hang out in Honolulu for the Pro Tour. It was awesome. All right, see you on the flip side.
So, Megan.
Yes.
Story of the weekend.
Yes.
Control.
Yay!
Control proved to be victorious. Shota Yasuoka won his second Pro Tour of all time, which is incredible. Amazing. With just a fantastic Control deck that he piloted like a maniac. And when I say maniac, I mean like
a genius. Like a mad genius.
You watch him play and it's like watching the hand of God on Magic cards. It's just like he knows what you're going to do. He knows what he's going to do 10 turns ahead. It's like bizarre.
He's God and his deck is Adam in that painting. He's about to spark of life that situation.
And the funny thing is I believe he came up with that deck and finalized the list the night before.
Oh, bonkers.
He was playing Grixis Control.
Nice.
Which was all about control, control, control. Playing a Noxious Gearhulk. That would be sweet if it was playing Noxious Gearhulk too. Torrential Gearhulk as the win condition, as well as Thing in the Ice. Those are the two win conditions.
Beautiful.
But
lots of world
killing and lots of countering. Megan, how does this make you feel?
Just like, it's like the world is made of sherbet.
Oh boy.
Like good sherbet.
And you're swimming in it?
No, I'm eating it.
That would be a sticky bath.
That'd be super gross and like cold.
Yeah.
Be really cold.
Never mind. Swimming in ice cream. Bad idea. Forget I said it.
I will. I have.
But yeah, there is that control deck and it went up in the finals against Carlos Ramau's deck, which was also control.
Mm-hmm. Which Carlos Ramau won GP Atlanta the weekend before.
What?
It's just like, no big deal.
And
like,
just he had also just won up. GP Sao Paulo with his team.
Yeah.
What?
Like not that long ago.
What?
Pretty good.
He was a world champion back in 2002. So he's coming back into the scene. And
he was the Magic Online world champion in 2010.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Dude knows how to play Magic.
This is a sick run for Carlos.
Brazilian player.
Yep.
Like super tall.
Very tall.
Super tall, which I don't think you like capture on, like it doesn't come across on camera.
Yeah.
But like, oh man, because we were doing the top 8 profiles for Atlanta. And so I had met him and like got his photo and his profile written out and everything. And when he stood up to take his photo, I was just like, oh wow. Like, like that's a lot taller than I was expecting.
Yeah. It's like super hard to tell who's tall and who's small.
Yeah.
On coverage. But Megan and I, we know who's secretly super small. I mean short.
God. Speak for yourself, man. I'm just
kill me. It's no secret which commentators are short because you sit next to Marshall and it's just like you are short. There is nobody who is tall anymore in the world except for Marshall.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me just talk for a moment about Hawaii. This is a great place. I walked out of the hotel. One block later, I was on the beach. I stayed on that beach to watch Pro Tour coverage from my phone. It was amazing.
What a world.
I drank a drink out of a pineapple, as you heard last week.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stores are open until like 2 frickin' a.m. in the morning, so you can shop at Jimmy Choo's to get those shoes when you are good and drunk.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Those are expensive shoes.
It was bizarre because there's all these very, very ritzy, fancy shops.
You have to be drunk to buy those shoes.
On Waikiki Beach. Yeah, I mean, they're like $800.
Jesus.
And all these super fancy stores that are open until it was just strange to be able to walk into a store.
Did you try them on, though?
I didn't because I felt like it looked like too much of a scrub to go in.
What? Just walk in there like you have money.
I should have. That would have been great.
Just walk in there and be like, excuse me.
Put a shoe on my foot. No, but but it was pretty sweet. And like, just kind of like an island paradise for real. Anyway, so yeah, that's the top 8. We're going to go over the decks briefly.
Yeah.
That people had in the top 8.
Yep.
So who do you want to start with, Megan?
Well, let's just start at the top with Pierre Dejean.
Dejanoro.
No. Pierre Dejean with the blue-red spells.
So this deck's deal is Dynavolt Tower.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where the name Blue Red Spells is a little bit of a misnomer, because
it's really a Blue Red Dynavolt Tower. Yeah,
that's what you're doing in
when
this
When you say
deck.
Blue Red Spells, I'm like, oh, are you going to have a Thermo Alchemist? You're going to have Thing in the Ice? It's like, no.
No.
No, I have a Dynavolt Tower, and I'm going to make a million energy and kill all your things.
Yeah, so nearly everything in this deck gets you energy thanks to Dynavolt Tower. Mm-hmm. It's playing only one Torrential Gear Hulk. That's its only creature.
Yep. One of them.
And then he's a bunch of spells. Lonely. Obviously, like Tormenting Voice, Take Inventory.
Ooh, four copies.
Anticipate was a card of the weekend, too. Everybody was playing that.
I like Anticipate.
Everybody was also playing Glimmer of Genius.
Glimmer of Genius. That makes a lot of sense. That's a good card.
It is a good card. Scry two, get two energy, draw two cards.
I love drawing cards.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But it's kind of funny, too. Like, it is a good card, but it's not like Sphinx's Rev, you know?
You don't have to
I'm
tell
sorry
me.
Sorry, I brought it up.
It's not Sphinx's Rev.
A lot of people also playing cards like Harness Lightning to kill everything, basically, this weekend.
And also not a Sphinx's Rev.
No. This deck basically wins by shooting people in the face with Dynavolt Tower and killing creatures with Dynavolt Tower.
Dynavolt Tower.
Dynavolt Tower.
Dynavolt Tower. Let me tell you.
Oh, good my land. Draw me some cards, kill me some creatures, and shoot you in the face with Dynavolt Tower. I'm a southern lady. I don't attack with creatures. Anyway, yeah, that was that deck.
Yeah, that was that deck. And then we had red-white vehicles.
Yeah, so this was a deck we kind of saw coming into the weekend because it
had been
played.
Just like you can see a car coming.
Yeah, we saw it coming down the road, headlights ablazing. It had been played at the SCG Open, so we knew it was a thing. This deck was piloted in the top eight by Ben Hull from Canada, and it's basically exactly what you expect. Some vehicles, most notably
some cheap creatures.
Smuggler's Copter.
Obviously Smuggler's Copter.
Yep.
Smuggler's Copter. It's a flyer that's gonna be. I don't know why I started singing.
I know. I was like, oh, we have a lot of theme songs happening on this episode.
I don't know. But the other one was fine because it was just repurposing a song that already exists.
So you were writing this one.
That one I was just like, I was just like kind of, you know, rolling along.
Get in the chopper is what these tiny creatures yelled as they piloted their smuggler's copter. It also had Fleet Wheel Cruiser and Sky Sovereign Console Flagship.
Sky Sovereign. What a card.
Okay.
A card.
Pretty straightforward, that sort of deck.
Then we had Mardu Vehicles, another vehicle deck. This one was going with black so that it had Unlicensed Disintegration.
Sweet.
Yeah. It also had three Cultivator's Caravan. Very powerful card.
Yeah.
And also helps with that third color. That was Li Shi Tian, who you don't see a lot at GPs.
Right.
You don't see a lot of... don't see a lot of him at North American GPs.
Yes.
I power him down.
He lives in Hong Kong.
Exactly, because he lives in Hong Kong. But, like, I feel like every time, like, almost every pro tour,
he's had an absurd
number of, like, really great performances at pro tours.
Yeah, Li Shi Tian's the real deal.
Then we had Joey Manor's White Blue Flash.
Yeah, so this was basically the Spirits deck that we thought we were going to get earlier in the year, but we never quite got there.
Yep.
This is basically a functioning version of that.
Yep, it's got some Selfless Spirits, some Rattle Chains, some Spell Quellers.
Nice.
Some Smuggler's Copters.
Of course. I mean, who doesn't have a Smuggler's Copter? The two
Nobody
decks
doesn't
in the finals,
have,
that's who, but...
That's right! Suck it, Copter! then we had Red White Tokens.
So this was from player Makis Matsoukas from Greece, and this was his first Pro Tour. Of course, first top eight in the Pro Tour, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. Although I feel like it's a little like misleading because its token generators were Servo Exhibition, four copies of that, and PNLR, and like that's it.
Yeah.
For tokens. I guess Gideon counts, technically.
I suppose. Yeah.
It's like a red-white aggro deck, really.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
So that deck was playing, like, Outnumber of all things.
That's right, Outnumber.
Four
crazy.
Of them. I mean, this deck's cool, and I think the reason, like, it did so well, so red-white vehicles could do could do well, but it couldn't really go as wide as this deck could. So this one could like get in extra damage against all the big blockers that were happening.
Four copies of Reckless Bushwhacker.
Yeah, so that also surprise attacks. If you're coming into a Pro Tour and people aren't expecting you to play Reckless Bushwhacker,
yeah,
you can get some people with that card.
You can get them.
So yeah, that was a cool deck. I liked that. Was probably my favorite of the top eight decks for me personally.
Ugh, of course.
Of course it was.
And then we had Matt Nass playing Teemer Aetherworks.
So congrats to Matt Nass for his first top eight. Well deserved.
So this is the one that's playing, obviously, Aetherworks Marvel. And then it has a lot of ways to generate energy. And then a couple of really big payoffs, notably four Ulamog and four Emrakul.
What?
Hello, Eldrazi Titans.
So Aetherworks Marvel was kind of the big bad boy of the weekend at the Pro Tour. People were not happy that this was a deck. Not everybody was not happy, but it's kind of a cheaty card, right? So whenever a permanent you control is put into the graveyard, you get an energy. Then you can tap it and pay six energy and look at the top six cards of your library and then cast one for free.
Yeah.
Which is very silly. And obviously could be tremendously abused.
Yeah. Oh man, here's my Ulamog.
Yeah, just, oh, okay.
Cool.
So I heard people dying on turn four to Emrakul. Like,
yeah, that sounds like a thing.
Something that happened.
Yep.
So yeah, some people not happy that this deck exists. And I can see why. It's not very interactive. But perhaps some more artifact destruction will come into play in the future and people will be able to get rid of that thing more easily. I don't know.
Yeah. Then we had Jeskai Control. Hello, friend.
So, Megan, do you like this Jeskai Control deck from Carlos Romao, or do you like Shota's deck better?
Yes.
Okay. Should have seen that coming.
All of them. Hello, all of them.
You know what's interesting is that there wasn't a predominantly like blue-white control deck that we were kind of thinking would be like Dovin Bon and Fumigate. Well, this deck runs both of those things. It's also got red in it because I think it wants to play Harness Lightning.
Yeah, and also it's playing Radiant Flames.
Yes.
Which at three mana can do a pretty good job of wiping things up.
So yeah, you don't want to be me in this scenario. Me playing the little red, white, tiny guys versus this deck. And I'm like,
they all die!
Kill them all!
Get out!
Yeah, so this deck can really wreck face pretty well.
Yep, it's playing two Dovin Bon, two Avacyn, and three Torrential Gearhulk, as well as some Quarantine Field, a Stasis Snare, a bunch of counter spells, and some other ways to kill things.
And let's take a look at...
Oh, excuse me.
Blessed Alliance U. See what I did there?
I'm upset about it.
Shota Yasuoka's deck, Grixis Control. So he has black in here for Unlicensed Disintegration as well. Mm-hmm. It's Transgress the Mind.
Yes.
All right.
It also has a Jace Unraveler of Secrets. Hello, Jace.
Well.
5-mana Jace. Thing in the Ice, as you mentioned. And then a lot of kill spells and a lot of... a lot of kill spells and a lot of counter spells.
These two decks playing in the finals was like basically my nightmare.
My dream.
So this is what I have to watch when I'm in the like the ninth circle of hell is just these two control decks constantly not doing anything and drawing cards and then saying go.
Yes.
Oh, the worst. It was so funny because
draw a card, play a land, pass the turn.
I'm watching it in the first two games, which are unsideboarded matches. Both players had to count each other's libraries.
Yeah, because it's like, well, who's going to die first by decking themselves?
And so then they had to play. They had to be they were like, oh, I guess I'm the aggressor because I'm going to die first from decking.
Yep.
Oh, just how Richard Garfield intended it, I'm sure, Megan.
Yep, exactly how he meant it to be played.
So it was quite interesting, and I'm being a little silly about not wanting to watch these decks play because it actually was very interesting. Because to me, as an aggressive player, I'd sit there and I'm like, I have absolutely no idea how you're supposed to get the upper hand in a control versus control match.
Yeah. I mean, it is a weird...
It is a mind game is what it is.
It really is. I remember control mirrors from back in the Sphinx's Rev, like the blue-white days. And if you were both playing like the blue-white, like no win cons deck, that was essentially just like, you know, it had Elixir of Immortality.
Oh, yeah.
So that, I remember that. You're just like, I'm not going to die. by decking myself until before you do. And it's when mostly it won by your opponent scooping. I had one match where no one won because we never finished a game one. And then I had another one where, oh man, this one was great because my opponent made the mistake of casting their elixir when I counterspell magic up, and they didn't have, right, like in a situation where I was going to win a counter war if I had two counterspells in hand, which was just like exceptionally likely.
Yeah.
So they cast it, so I countered their elixir, which at that point, as long as I cast my elixir, like,
yeah,
I'm in the clear for the game. And so they, and I like draw it and I have it in hand. And I remember they had the Jace Architect of Thought, which is the one where if you ultimate it, you can take your, like, you search your opponent's deck for, I think, a card, like your deck for a card and their deck for a card, and you get to cast both of them. So I knew as I watched him with this Jace that what he was trying to do, he was just ticking up and up and up, that he was going to ultimate it and search my deck for my elixir.
Yep.
But I had it in hand.
Suck it.
So he, so he, like, ultimated the Jace, and, like, I, like, hand him my library.
And he's like, where is
it? He looks through it, and then he looks through it, looks through it again, sets my deck down, and concedes.
So good.
Because it was like, yeah, obviously if it wasn't in there, he didn't see it, like, it was in my hand, and...
Oh.
Yeah, it was great.
Control on control. So it was very interesting to watch when these players decided to make a move, why they decided to make a move, when they decided they wanted to pick a fight over something. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to fight you about your Glimmer of Genius, for example? Or how am I going to fight you? How much am I going to fight you over this Gear Hulk, considering that maybe I want to keep some counter spells in hand and maybe I just want to kill it with, you know, for instance, my Unlicensed Disintegration or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it seriously was a mind game.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point, some of the players had nothing but lands in their hand, but they played like they had it all. I mean, it's just fantastic to watch. So I suggest you guys go watch the replays if you haven't seen it on YouTube or on Twitch, because, I mean, like, it just blew my mind a little bit where I'm like, I just want to attack you with my dudes. it was just like they're out. They were trying to out, like, trick each other in their brains.
What a beautiful world.
Megan, which one of these
what
decks?
What a beautiful game.
You have to choose. Which one are you going to play? Say we were playing a Sander tournament. Which one?
I don't know.
I think you want...
I have to think about
okay,
it.
Okay, think about it.
I have to think about it. So
I'm going to guess you pick Shota's, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I like a good blue-white planeswalker, man. I like a good Fumigate.
Yeah, Dovinvan.
But, you know...
That's true.
This is also very pretty.
This is why we're playing an aggro player is kind of sad sometimes, because, yeah, you can get these decks if you come out faster than them, but sometimes it's just like, there is actually nothing I could ever do to win this game. And it's just a very sad feeling.
It's just... So speaking of decks that you might want to try out in Standard, there are also deck lists by points on the Daily MTG website, where they do them by how many points they got in the Swiss rounds of Constructed. So you can see the ones with 27. I think they have them all the way from 18 to 27.
Oh, cool.
And they're separated into different ones. So at 27 points, which is the best that any deck did, 9-1, there's a lot of blue-white midrange and blue-white flash.
Look at that.
And a lot of Smuggler's Copters.
Oh, yeah.
Which is super interesting. Just looking at, so like, literally.
Yeah, blue-white.
It's three blue-white decks. And then after that, you get into 26 points, which is 8-0-2, which is the red-white tokens deck. 8-1-1, that's where we have Carlos Romão's Jeskai Control, Shota's Grixis Control. And then we start getting into, let's see, we have another Jeskai Control at 24 points. Ooh, Black-Red Madness deck.
Yeah, this deck reared its head a couple of times across the weekend, which is kind of cool. We saw sort of glimmers of it with cards like Prized Amalgam and Haunted Dead. Mm-hmm. But, this one also adding in things like Cathartic Reunion, Unlicensed Disintegration.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat.
Very cool.
There was other cool decks that we didn't mention in the top eight, which is the deck like Black-Green Delirium.
Oh, yeah. Which was also a deck that if you look through these, you're going to see.
Yeah. And so Ifra was playing that deck and he loved it. I think he went 8-2 with it.
Yeah.
He was undefeated first day of the tournament and it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And a really, really neat deck. And then what was the other? There's Electrostatic Pummeler was the deck.
Here's his Black-Green Delirium deck.
Blossoming Defense. What a card in that deck.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Four spicy. Grim Flayers. Yeah. Get wow. flayed.
Wow. Gruesome.
Gruesome. And he had to play with a pirate patch on his eye the whole weekend.
Yeah, because he just got cataract surgery.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So kudos to him. It was a pretty sweet eye patch.
Sean McLaren's Red Green Energy. Let's see. This has two Chandra for Voltaic Brawler.
Sweet.
Four Servant for Long Tusk Cub. Tireless Tracker. Three Bristling Hydra. A Virtuous Gearhulk and a Lathnu Hellion. Oh, very aggressive.
I really like this deck. I think it's creative. It's neat to use energy and to beat down with red-green. Mm-hmm. So I like it even better than the red-white sort of like vehicle strategy. Yeah. Just because I think this is kind of more fun. Like you're doing a little bit more interesting things, mm-hmm. perhaps. So this deck, I'm into this deck. This isn't the one that had Electrostatic Pummeler, but I know people were playing that card and trying to just create a huge trampler that you couldn't deal with, but I'm not sure exactly where it falls in this list. Maybe it didn't do well enough to be up here, but yeah. I'll take a look for it. Electrostatic Pummeler is definitely a card that has gone up in my estimation.
Which one is that one?
So that is the one that when it comes into play, you get 3 energy. Then you can pay 3 energy to double its essentially power and toughness.
Oh, that's right.
So this card is rare and it costs 3. And so I was like, oh, who wants to pay 3 for that stupid 1/1?
Yeah.
But now if I see one in a draft, I'm like, I'm in. I'm doing it. Like, I'm going to build around it.
All the way.
Because it's so sick. Like, if you play, you know, a larger than life on it and you have a couple of energy, like, laying around, like, good game.
Yeah, that's very true.
I played against it in a coverage draft and I lost to it because I didn't malfunction it. Because I was like, it'll probably be fine. Guess what? It wasn't fine, you guys. It wasn't fine.
It was exceptionally not fine.
Ugh. So yeah, go to dailymtg.com and check out which perhaps of these decks maybe inspires you to even create your own brew. Or if you want to emulate one of the pros, you can just scoop up one of these lists and play it at your next tournament.
Yeah, man.
Or build something of your own because it's still a brave new world out there. Just because a pro tour happened doesn't mean they found everything.
No. Like any good mapper, we know that not everything has been cartographized.
Yes. And just a quick note on draft from the Pro Tour. We did see some things happen at GP Atlanta, and I think our consensus was that you can play a straightforward deck like we're used to seeing with Renegade Freighter and Smash Face, or you can play something really weird.
Renegade Freighter, great card, any deck.
Yes, Paint Train.
Literally any deck, just put it in there. If you draft one, put it in there. I don't care what else your deck does, play a Renegade
Even
Freighter.
If you're a control?
Even if you're a control deck, play a Renegade Freighter.
Card's sick.
That card is so good.
What a beating.
I played a green-white deck. I drafted a green-white deck, and it wasn't a synergy deck.
Yeah.
It was just, like, some good cards. And at some points, I also had the Arbor Stomper.
Yeah.
So sometimes I would go, you know, like, some random 2-drop, 3-drop Pain Train, 4-drop something that can crew it, 5-drop...
Yeah.
Like Arborback Stomper, and I have like 2 different 5/4s to attack with.
Scoop!
It was insane. It was great.
Card's great. And I think you hit on it too. Like, you can just play random good cards in a deck, and that's
just play random good cards.
Totally fine. Or you can go all out on synergy, and that's also fine. We saw Paul Rietzel do it in round 2 of the Pro Tour, where he assembled the sweet combo that you wrote about actually when you previewed those cards.
That's right. Infinite.
Infinite Thopters.
Wait. No, that just means like infinite 1/1.
Oh, infinite 1/1. Sorry,
all of the modules. He had all 3 modules and made infinite. Could just like so make as many 1/1s as he wanted to.
Oh, I love it. So I love it. I also have noticed that the Inspired Charge deck is beginning to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? It's been a thing, man. I've drafted several Inspired Charge decks.
I got beat by one.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Do you know what? I thought it could only do well in stuff that could make a lot of servos, but I had ones where I could make, you know, like 3 servos and a handful of other creatures, and it's still just very good.
Melissa DeTora has a favorite color. What do you think it is, Megan?
Ooh, in this set?
Yes.
I don't know. Is it surprising? Green.
No, I don't think it's surprising. Green's a great guess. What I would have guessed too. It's black.
Wow.
She thinks that it's the deepest of all the colors.
Interesting.
Because you get cards like Dund Operative and
Dund Operative is Screecher. Very good.
It's pretty sweet.
It's a good card.
So anyway, yeah, share with us your thoughts on the Pro Tour / draft, whatever the heck you want. Tweet at us at MTAcast.
# draft what I want. Modern. So I've been testing because I am planning on going to GP Dallas Fort Worth. Or is GP Fort Worth? It's in Fort Worth. Straight up. It's not straddling the cities.
Is that because of the airport? Is that why people call it that?
No, because they're like right next to each other. It's like Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Although when we have GPs here, they just call them GP Minneapolis. So that's interesting.
What's up, Texas?
Anyways, yeah, which is modern. And I, you know, was like, oh, okay, I need to figure out exactly what I want to play.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do you know what? Elves is like a niche strategy. It doesn't always do, you know, it's not like one of the best, but it's also not bad. And there's sometimes when it's like actually quite good.
So you're not playing Ensnaring Bridge? Is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
Look, I'm saying that there's a possibility that right now I'm going to show up to Dallas with a bunch of tiny green creatures.
Wow.
I'm not promising it, but the thing is, so I was like, I was testing a bunch of different ones. Like I tested Bant Eldrazi and I was like, God, snooze fest.
Yeah.
Jesus H, no way, never. And then let's see, I'm trying to remember what else I've been playing. Obviously, I did a couple with Lantern. And then, like, but early on, I tried out Elves. And I was just, like, I played Elves. And I had, like, a great time. And I didn't do any, like, particularly great or anything in the league. And then I, like, moved on. And especially, like, Bant Eldrazi came next. And that was garbage. And I, like, tried Burn. And I tried, you know, I was playing some Lantern. And then at some point, I was just, like, God, do you know what I just keep thinking about? Like, I keep thinking cheese. About playing elves. Oh. And cheese, but also playing elves.
Aww.
And so I was like, true love. Do you know what? I think I just need to, you know, I'm going to practice it a bit. And there's a chance I also play sometimes some of, like, the Valakut strategies.
Yeah.
Like, Red Green Valakut and or Titan Shift and Through the Breach and stuff like that, which I also enjoy. But, man, I've just been having, like, a really good time.
Megan, tell me why. I feel like I don't know you anymore.
I know. I don't know. There's just, like, there's a lot of cool thought that goes into it. Like, there was a point at which I was playing an Elves Mirror. That was the one that I was talking about when my opponent was like, oh, me also. And then it turned out we were playing the same deck. And I, like, so they played, they ended up, like, tapped. They were slightly ahead, and they played an Azuri, which can pump it has an ability where all of your elves get +3/+3 and trample. Yes.
So is this the way this deck wins, is it spams with a lot of creatures, and then you play big pumpers?
Yes.
Okay.
Specifically Azuri, which is a legendary that for 5 mana, all of your elves get +3/+3 and trample.
Wow. Overrun on a stick.
Yeah. So it uses Azuri, which can +3/+3 and trample to all your elves. So anyways, like, I had a lot of creatures out and was like at like 18, but my opponent had been on the play and also had a super good draw. And so they get out an Azuri and it managed to attack with, I think, like 5 things. Attack with 5 things with an Azuri and like pump their team. But I have 4 things to block with and what's the card? Court of Calling in hand, and a Heritage Druid, and Azuri also has another ability, which for green, you can regenerate another elf. And I need to block with at least 5 toughness of elves, which is almost everything that I have untapped. But I also need to be able to kill my opponent on the backswing. And I also have a Nykthos in play. So I, like, block with the 5 elves that I need to block with. Court of Calling for my own Azuri, and then use, like, instead, so I, right, I tap Heritage Druid,
right,
and then I use that to activate Nykthos, which nets me 11 mana, so I cord using 6 of that, and then with the other 5, I regenerate each elf that's blocking, so I go to exactly 1, and then have lethal on the backswing.
Oh, that's sick.
And so, and like, that's like in the mirror, which is like particularly like that and wonky. But I just felt like a lot of, there's a lot of interactions in the deck where it requires kind of a lot of thinking of like, okay, what am I going to, like, how fast am I trying to finish my opponent off right now? Like, based on what I have in hand, based on what deck they're playing, like, how am I going to play out this game? It's super interesting. I had a lot of fun.
Well, I'll be interested to see if you pack those elves in your little knapsack when you head down to Texas.
My elf knapsack.
Yeah.
Adorable. We'll see. So we'll, I'll keep you updated as I continue prepping for that.
Flavortext Theater presents Three-Way Battle Royale.
That's right. We are going to crack a pack of Kaladesh,
a pack of Magic Origins,
and a pack of Battle for Zendikar. All three of these are going to go in the pile of cards that we are sending to our lucky patron this month. It goes in there with a couple of packs that we've already cracked and a sweet playmat.
Yeah, so if you want to get in on this.
And playmat bag.
Get in on Patreon.
That's right.
This is sweet.
Okay. So that it will be next week before our show. We will do that drawing.
So what we're going to do is we're going to crack these packs. We're not going to look at the cards as we crack them. And then we're going to fight the cards that are basically across from each other, if that makes sense, in the packs.
Well, we're not going to fight.
The lands, like the rares versus the commons.
Exactly. And nothing versus the lands.
No. Even though you would say that Island beats Moten any day.
Every day. Island beats some spells.
Ooh, speaking of islands.
That's right.
This is a sweet Zendikar island.
Okay, we're gonna start on the bottom though, right?
Yeah, start on the bottom.
Okay, ready?
Set.
Go.
Okay, I've got a plummet over here, if you remember that card.
Yes, a fetid imp, which is the 1 and a black, 1/2 flying, and you can pay a black to give it death touch, and demolish.
Ooh, I definitely think fetid imp is the pick here.
Yeah, I mean, that card is just very good.
All right, chalk one up for
playing
Origins.
A lot of those.
Yeah, that was a good card.
All right, yeah, so the tally is 1 for Origins.
Okay. Should we just put
those
in the loser pile?
Yeah, let's put the other ones in the loser pile.
Okay.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
Ooh, I have a Coral Helm Guide. Oh my gosh, remember this card?
Yeah, man. I won some games with Coral Helm Guide.
That's so great. 4 and a blue, a target creature can't be blocked this turn. It's just a 2/1.
Mm-hmm. A smash to smithereens, which for 1 and a red destroys an artifact and deals 3 damage to that artifact's controller. That is from Origins. And an aviary mechanic.
Wow. Are you picking the Coral Helm Guide or the aviary mechanic?
That's a really good question. I think right now, like, if it's early, I pick the mechanic.
I think I want the guide.
You always are able to pick up a guide, though. You're usually able to pick up a mechanic, too.
I guess I'm, like, thinking, like, if I was drafting this in Kaladesh, it was the way that I was thinking about
it. In a vacuum.
In a vacuum, I would pick the Coral Helm Guide. But, I think Aviary is better in Kaladesh. But, like, Unblockable is so good. It scales. Anyway.
All right. Fine. We'll give it to Battle.
Something that's been interesting is that people are saying that Mana Flood is pretty tough to deal with in Kaladesh because it's kind of true. Unlike formats we've been playing recently, there's nothing to do with your mana when you have a lot of it.
Yeah.
Which we've been seeing.
Oh, man. In a draft the other day, the same green-white one, I had a Master Trinketeer.
Yeah.
Which is the one that for 3 and a white, you can make a servo. And there was one game where literally I drew like 6 lands in a row. But I got up to 12 and was making 3 2/2s per turn.
Yeah.
And it was insane.
If you have a Master Trinketeer, no worries.
Usually you would be like, 6 goddamn lands!
Worthwhile!
And you would have lost so hard. In my world, I was just like, make 3 2/2s.
Bring them on.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
I've got a Myers Malice, which, if you remember, has Awaken, speaking of using your mana in different ways.
I loved Awaken, man.
Target opponent discards 2, and you make a 3/3.
We have Nivix Barrier, Flash, Defender. When it enters the battlefield, target attacking creature gets -4/-0 until end of turn. And a Cowl Prowler.
Wow, I remember people didn't used to pick Myers Malice, and then near the end of the format, they started picking it.
I mean, it's not great, but it was solid. And I remember, like, Nivix Barrier, I always wanted to have flying.
Nivix Barrier. Yeah.
No. All right, I would take the Myers Malice. Yep. I loved Awaken. Maybe I'm just being Awaken nostalgic here. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
I have a Tajuru Stalwart, which, if you recall, has Converge.
That's right. And it's usually a Converge.
2/3 or something.
a timber pack wolf, and a live fast.
Ooh.
You know, I think I take the Timberpack Wolf.
So do I. It gets +1/+1 for each other creature you control named Timberpack Wolf. And that was a fun card. Like, yeah. If you had three of them, it was just like...
It's a solid 2/2 for two, you know? And like, sometimes it's a 3/3 for two.
Tojiro Star was so annoying, though, I have to say.
It really was sometimes.
In all those five color decks. Reckless Cohort, 2/2, must attack, unless you have an ally.
Kithian's Tactics, 1WW sorcery. Creatures you control get +2/+1. And if you have Spell Mastery, they also get Vigilance. And Cogworker's Puzzle Knot.
Ugh, what a barf hole of cards.
Puzzle Knot.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
I don't hate Puzzle Knot.
Kithian's Tactics, this was a sorcery. I suppose it was only three.
Yeah.
But now we have an instant that can do that. Goodbye.
1, 2, 3.
Inspired Charge. There
Tidy
it is.
Tidy Conclusion.
Which deck am I pulling from?
Gearper Gearcrafter.
Oh, that card was sweet.
That card was so good.
So that one's where you get a Thopter?
Yeah. It's a 2/1 and a Thopter for 3.
Nice. Or Tidy Conclusion, Megan.
Gosh. You know, I love Tidy Conclusion. Love it. But man, like, Gearcrafter was so good in Origins.
Yeah. I want the Gearcrafter. I'm always going to pick the creature. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
God, I really like Tidy Conclusion. But Gearcrafter.
Go with your heart. All right. Okay, I've got Stone Fury. Remember this bad boy?
Yeah, I do.
Instant, three red, deals damage to target creature equal to the number of lands you control.
Inventor's Goggles and Dreadwaters.
What the heck is Dreadwaters?
Oh, it's a mill card. Target player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, where X is the number of lands you control.
mono Dreadwaters.
Yep.
Doing it.
Stone Fury.
Stone Fury all day.
Oh.
The card is gas.
Day.
1, 2, 3. I've got a Smite the Monstrous.
A Larger Than Life and an Undead Servant.
Smite.
Yeah.
Get in there, Smite.
1, 2, 3.
Ooh, Kozilek's Channeler. Remember this one. 4-4. Four, taps for 2 colorless.
Revoke Privileges and Nissa's Pilgrimage.
Revoke.
Yeah, I'll take Revoke.
Yeah, Kozilek's Channeler was not a bad card.
It was quite good. Sometimes it was just a great 4-4.
Wonder if I'll open an expedition. I have Touch of the Void.
Glassblower's Puzzle Knot, and Patron of the Valiant.
Wow, I never played that card.
Me neither. When Patron of the Valiant enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it. 4/4 flyer for 5.
Touch of the Void, notably, also goes to the face. It goes to the face.
Let's goes all to the face.
Try and remember that.
Touch of the Void goes to the face. I think I take Touch here.
Touch is a great card. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
That's a sweet angel, but
it is a sweet
Touch
angel.
Is great. Touched by an angel, am I right? I've got Grove Tender Druids, which is a kind of sweet card that you never really got to play because it was multicolored.
Green, white.
It was green,
also
white.
It was green. Remember how bad green was?
Green was terrible.
Oh, it was so bad.
It has Rally, so you can pay 1 to put a plant if you play an ally. It's 3/3.
Arborback Stomper.
Yes.
Hydralash. Stomper.
Stomper.
Stomper all day.
Okay.
What a card.
We're getting to the uncommons.
We're already in the uncommons.
Oh, yeah. We're getting deeper.
You didn't open any expeditions.
Shut up. Let me dream.
We have Malakir Familiar, the 2/1 flying and Death Touch for 3, Inventor's Apprentice, and Thopter Engineer.
Wow.
Thopter Engineer.
Thopter Engineer, I think, is the pick, but Malakir Familiar was a fun little card.
Yeah, it was.
Inventor's Apprentice, you know, play that card in standard, I guess. I've got a Retreat to Coral Hell.
Minister of Inquiries. Soulblade Djinn. Oh, Soulblade.
Soulblade Djinn,
oh, wait,
for sure.
We never mind. We do have... You do have a foil in
I have
here.
A foil!
Yeah, so Soulblade... Or whoever gets sent these gets a foil. Soulblade Djinn. Obviously, it's a rare.
Yeah, we're taking that rare.
Poor buddy.
Okay.
Oh, it was also a good rare, man.
That was a good card.
1, 2, 3. It's a foil island. What sick rubbins.
I have Hero of Gomafada. That was a good card.
Oh, it's because I was flipping the Origins pack.
Oh.
Sorry, buddy. Never mind. That was the Origins card.
This hero is a 4/3 with Rally.
Mm-hmm.
Creatures get indestructible. Yeah.
Fateful Showdown. And we put the rare back in.
Sure.
Because I think this Soulblade Djinn wins out of these rares.
Yeah, the Hero of Gomafada is pretty good, but I think the Djinn is just better.
This gives everything prowess.
Yeah, that's true. What do you want more, prowess or indestructible?
Prowess.
And who wants a sweet foil island?
Sick.
Ooh.
So yeah, you'll be getting those three rares as well as sweet cards we opened.
You get that island, that Zendikar Island too, because here's a zombie token for you, mystery person, whoever you end up being. Oh, it's over here. I like saved it because I'm like, oh, save the Zendikar land. No, you get the Zendikar land. There you go.
All right.
So that's awesome. Head on over to patreon.com/mdacast if you want to get down this sweet drawing. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks again for hanging out with us. We love hanging out with you, which is exactly what the show is. Talking some magic, slinging some spells.
Talking some smack.
Talking smack. Having, you know, visits from the spirit of Sam Black. And discussing the
Pro Tour. It makes it sound like he died.
No, it was just like he came upon me like a spirit. Okay.
Like, let's think. You want to go back?
I'm just going to stop talking for this episode. I quit.
Do you want to talk?
Sam Black was like the ghost of Christmas past who showed up out of nowhere and was like, touch my hand and we'll fly.
God, never fall for that one.
Something else that was cool that I didn't mention. We can move on from the horrible things that come out of my mouth is that I did go to the Pro Tour Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And I just briefly wanted to, like, mention, I kind of was able to get in by the seat of my pants, and it was really cool to see Owen Turtenwald inducted. Just a stand-up guy wearing a nice suit. Are you still laughing about things?
No, I'm listening. I have my full attention.
Okay. And Yuya Watanabe was inducted, and he was wearing his sweet traditional, like, dress and all that kind of thing.
It was awesome.
He looked great, and he gave a speech in English, which they talked about on the Pro Tour, but, like, being there, he doesn't speak English, so it was, like, super emotional to hear him say these words in English. It was really cool. And, of course, there were some hula dancers there, and if you saw our video, you know that, like, LSV and Paul Rietzel got up there on stage and tried to hula with the best of them. So, if that's not a reason to follow us on Twitter, I don't know what is.
Yep. Speaking of, you can find us on Twitter at MTAcast. You can send us an email with a question or topic for the show, magictheamaturing@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Smorgasbord, on Flitterbup.
Google Podcasts.
On Google Podcasts. And so many other places where podcasts are found.
Yeah, and you can buy a shirt or a playmat that says good luck, high five on our store, magictheamaturing.com.
Yes.
And as we mentioned, get in on those patron donations if you want to get a shirt before November. So, yeah.
Yep. And thank you so much to all of our patrons. And thank you again to our sponsor,
Card Kingdom. It's the best kingdom. You thought England was the best. You were wrong. It's Card Kingdom.
It's fairly colonialist to think that England is the best.
I mean, you know, I'm a bit of an Anglophile.
Sure.
What do you think the best kingdom is? What were you going to say?
The kingdom of heaven?
This episode has gone off the rails too many times. We're going to call it a night. Peace out.